Welcome to the Journey to Midwifery podcast. This is a podcast for and about midwives. This is the place where midwives come to share their stories. I am your host, Amber Wilson, a midwife myself. I felt called to this journey of sharing the stories of midwives around the globe, and I hope that you will find as much joy listening as I do interviewing. Remember the quote, "Life is about the journey, not the destination." Okay, we're back for another interview on the Journey to Midwifery podcast, and I'm happy to welcome Cynthia on this week. So hello, Cynthia. Give us a little intro. Say hi.
I'm Cynthia Barker. I live in the greater Wichita, Kansas area. I'm a CPM, and I love that we get to visit about this today.
And you work with a previous guest.
Yes, Deidre DeGrado is my partner, and we actually have a co-op, and we have four midwives right now. We'll have five in June. Our student is going to be graduating and coming on board with us. So that model in and of itself is a real cool thing, and I don't think I would do it any other way. So
yeah,
I got into midwifery just kind of organically. It wasn't like an early calling in my life. It was more like, I really feel like, well, I'm a homeschool mom. Let me say that. I homeschooled for 29 years. We have 8 kids. My husband was an international airline pilot. And so our lives are really, really busy. But my first births were in the hospital. And I never could get the birth I wanted at the hospital, but I'm pretty sure it's because I had the wrong doctor. You know, I just didn't have the right support. I didn't have a doctor who practiced with informed consent. And so I was always on the lookout for something different. And so later I found my midwife and she delivered the rest of my babies at home. And like, that was a really good scenario. And it really drew me into midwifery a lot more.
Yeah. When we talk a little bit about your business, I would like you to share. Deidre talked about it too, but I want to hear more about the co-op too, because I think at least from what I've heard, it's pretty unique. So we'll start from the beginning. You touched on it a tiny bit, but what brought you to midwifery?
Well, as I was saying, I finally found a midwife for my 5th baby, and I loved that model. I loved the home birth experience. She had an office in her home, so we would do prenatal care there. And then she came to my home and did our births. And my husband and I, you know, of course we looked at each birth and decided, should we have a home birth or not? I think that's the way it should always be, because like, you just have a piece like, yes, I should be in the hospital or I should be at home. But in the process of that midwife serving my family and my brother's family, her youngest daughter married my youngest brother. And so when that happened, she started, you know, she lost one of her birth assistants. And so she would call me and make sure that my husband was home and just, hey, can you go drive to Hutchison, or can you drive here with me and have a, you know, help me with a birth? And so I kind of was pulled into it kind of in that way. I had helped friends and family in the hospital with their births, kind of in a doula role, but I didn't really know what that was. I at that point in time, you know, I just wasn't aware of what that was. And so, but that's what I was doing. And so she encouraged me to become a certified doula, which I did. And then I just really felt a prompting to go ahead and become a midwife. And I think that grew out of kind of my homeschooling perspective, in that we've just given up a lot of our knowledge and skills in this life. We hand over our kids to school. We hand over our kids to church. We hand over kids to everywhere. And we've just lost, you know, natural health. And I just feel like I kind of just wanted to learn so that generationally my own family would be stronger in knowledge and skills. And so that's kind of what was growing in my heart at the time. And so I started that process when I was 47. And most of my kids, I had adult, like young adult kids at home at the time. And then my younger boys were, you know, grade schoolish, and I could work homeschool around that. I would hire a tutor for our two clinic days and some things like that. So
I love that. I can't, how many times you've probably had people say to you, like, it's too late, I can't do that, or they want to hurry up and do it. But I love to hear people that have done it later.
Yeah.
It's so inspiring.
Strategy, you know, I'm going to have to do something after I've done all this other. But also, like, I had a real big heart to serve. Like, I wanted to serve my midwife, who I just felt, I mean, I was just in love with her. She just became a good friend to me, and I just wanted to serve her and her family. So my heart was to serve others. And I honestly think that's one of the most important things that you can be drawn into midwifery for. If you don't, you'll be surprised by how much service there is, you know. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever think you would go into midwifery at all, or birth work, before you hired a midwife?
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, I was just busy raising my kids and taking care of our home. And I just was more on a journey to, you know, that was before, like, there was the internet that was so prominent, you know, I mean, you know, we're talking over 30 years ago, you know, probably about 32 years ago. And so, like, you went to the library and checked out books to read about natural health things. And so that's where I learned about midwifery. I didn't really know very much about it. And I was on the hunt for a midwife. There was one midwife in town, but we didn't click. She was very low key, and I'm kind of more of a professional bent. And so that didn't, and so when my midwife came in to be, like, I just fell in love with that a lot. And so then, you know, she was mentoring me along the way, and I received it. And we, you know, just, that was how God kind of pushed me down this path. I say it was a long journey of a lot of tiny steps. Like, I didn't know even at the beginning where I would end up now.
Yeah. And so you sought her, because it makes me, I'm thinking about the spiral of how you got down this path. But when you sought her out, was it because you were dissatisfied with, just because you were dissatisfied with the hospital births, and you thought this is the better solution?
Yes. And then you are, you know, networking with other moms and people, and found out she was going to a church that we were going to at the time, but I didn't know her. And so somebody formally introduced us, and then we got to talk about what midwifery looked like and the midwifery model of care, you know, and that was like the solution to the questions that I knew I had, but I didn't know exactly what the questions were. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So how did your training go?
So she would just ask me to go to these births. And so I did that. Then she encouraged me to become a certified doula, and I did that. And then her birth assistant actually got sick. She was older and she had to retire. And so she's like, do you think you could help me, you know, as a birth assistant? And so I said, yes. And then I really heard that the door on my heart just knocking about becoming a certified professional midwife and going through the PEP process. And so that's kind of what happened. And so I told her I wanted to do that. And I think she was surprised, you know, it's kind of like, oh, I just never really thought about that. But she was encouraging. And at the time she had Deidre working in her office as well. And so I would do birth assisting some for both of them, and really got, Deidre and I had the same really bent towards professional midwifery. And so that was an easy way to go that direction. And so I finished my PEP process with Deidre.
How long did it take you, the whole PEP process?
6 years.
Yeah. Wow. I've heard anywhere from, I don't know, maybe 3 to 8. I think people don't realize how much time you all actually put into it.
Yes, it was 6 years. And I was blessed because my husband was providing for us, but I did use my doula. I did use my doula fees, and both of my preceptors allowed me to take that work if an over birth assisting at the time, because they knew that was a way for me to pay for my journey. But I wasn't having to pay for all of our home and our groceries. And, you know, I was very blessed in that way. Mm. I did have to provide tutoring for my two boys on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And that was an expense in and of itself, but it kept me being able to do our education the way that I wanted to do it at the time. So, but yeah, it was a lot of clinic days. And I mean, I would just have to do school with my boys, and then I was studying all afternoon and trying to get into the books. And since I didn't have a formal education, you know, it's hard to just kind of pick apart all the things that you're needing to know, even with the NARM process telling you these are your skills that you need to know. I mean, that's just icing on the cake. There's so much in-depth study that you need to do. Mm-hmm. And so, being a home educator, I was a very organized home educator. And so like that process just came into my midwifery, and I was just very organized with my studies and self-disciplined, you know, with that. So.
So were you more, when you were in your training, was it more for you like these specific days or when your spouse was home versus like, I'm available all the time?
It started more like she would call and see if I was available. You know, would I be able to have things covered at home? And I could usually work that out. I have an extended family that lives in my town, and it was, you know, everybody just gets along. So that was a blessing too. You know, not everybody has that. But as I got deeper into the process, it had to become more systematic and regimens to be there, you know, on our prenatal days and to go to postpartum care visits and all of that.
Yeah. And how did your life transition when you started practicing?
It was a slow process. You know, it kind of sneaks up on you. You know, if you're just doing these little steps every day, pretty soon you're just there. You know, you're ready to roll with it. And so by the time I actually was having my own practice and working in our team and all of that, my boys were older. There was one day, I have to laugh about this, because there was one day the tutor, and it was a young man that was tutoring my two boys, and my youngest, he was just not cooperating. He was probably like 9 or 10, I think. And I left prenatals and went home and got him and said, okay, you're going to come and sit at prenatals with me now this afternoon. And he was just like throwing a fit. Like, he just didn't want to hear those women screaming all day long. You know, he just had no idea what I was doing, you know. And I have funny stories. I mean, my boys would walk in with their friends and they're like, okay, now if you see any of my mom's books laying around, do not look at them.
Do you have all boys?
No, we have 4 boys and 4 girls, but my parents are boys.
Okay.
So, you know, so like they grew up in the process of me doing all of this, you mm-hmm. know, and my goal has been accomplished, because my boys and my girls both know more about natural birth. They are prepared. They ask questions. They ask intelligent questions. I have 6 that are married. We have 10 grandkids. Some of those were my own clients and home birth moms that I took care of. And that's a whole story in and of itself. But, you know, one of my sons wrote a college paper on the benefits of breastfeeding. You know, like, that's going to assimilate into their generations coming after them. So I feel like we've reached that goal of bringing in knowledge that we mm-hmm. didn't have before. And they still get to choose what they want to do, you mm-hmm. know, for sure.
I have to say something funny. My husband did a speech on the benefits of breastfeeding. This big burly guy. He was like, you're going to remember it coming from me.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, we send that out there. But, okay. So when you went into practice, did you go right into this co-op or did you do it? So,
well, it's Deidre and I, so okay. It was originally just Deidre and I, we had common desires to bring midwifery into the forefront in our community. We, like, before then it was kind of like, shh, we have a home birth over here. You know, we don't want to get in trouble with anybody. We live in a, a non-licensed state. So that's why that mentality was there. Like, you are kind of walking around kind of a little fearful, like, we don't want to get ourselves in trouble. We don't want to get our clients in trouble. We don't want to get in trouble for having a midwife. But that process grew, you know. I mean, like, in 2010 is when I kind of started what we call Wichita Birth Assistance. And I really had a goal to kind of bring that into the forefront. So I started a Facebook page with the midwives that I was serving, and started a website, and like, all of that was kind of along the same lines that Deidre had. And so we were a good team. And so we actually opened up a storefront office. And that was the first time here in Wichita that that had happened. And so, yeah. And the business of being born, that came out like, what, in 2008. So that really fed right into like, everybody's searching, you know, the internet was more prevalent and people were looking for answers and solutions. And so, yeah, it was really, really good. It was very timely. And we've gone to the hospitals here, and we have a very good relationship with the doctors and the hospitals and collaborative care. And so, so it was just her and I. And then we've had a couple of students come through. One of those students, well, we've had three students come through after me, and two of those will be staying in our practice. And then at the time we had, during this last few years, the only midwife that we had working in our two hospitals that was a CNM, it's a long story, but like, politics, power, and money, right? But they let her go and didn't want to support and give collaborative care to her anymore. And so she called us to see if she could come out and do home births with us. So we trained the CNM on how to do home births, and it was funny. We had a lot of good laughs, you know. She's like, well, now this is really different, because you're not just the midwife, but you're the janitor, and you're the registrar, and you're the cleanup crew, and you're the assistant sometimes, and you are taking care of the newborn, and there's a lot of different hats to wear. So that's kind of how our co-op grew, you know, to be where we are now.
So I have a quick question before I ask you more about the co-op, but could the CNM do home birth in Kansas?
Yes.
Okay. So can you talk about like, what are the semantics of your co-op? How does it work?
So we all have kind of our own practices, but we co-op together for a lot of different things. So Deidre is kind of our office owner, coordinator, and all of that. She and I brainstorm a lot about like which direction we want to go. You know, we both have brought different things to the table, but she orders our supplies, and those supplies are there for all the midwives. We pay a percentage back from our clients that goes through our office, and that percentage takes care of like the office person. They do our any things that we need to have done. They take care of most of that and make sure like our hearing screens get filed and our newborn screens are handled appropriately, and make sure we have all the supplies. Like, I don't think people realize how many supplies you have to just have ready to go. And so, the website and the Facebook page is community, our co-op, about our co-op. We take turns taking our office phone during the week, and we can get, you know, clients from that, and we can take those independently. That's kind of why we rotate the phone that way. And then, you know, there's people that email us or whatever, and they know they want to meet with one of the specific midwives. And we always ask, do you have a particular midwife in mind? And if they don't, then we look at our schedule and see like who would be a good fit and when would that be, and that they could come in. And so that's what happens. There's a uniformity in fees and charges and things like that. And then the percentage goes to the office to take care of all those needs. And then we do the rest, but we don't have an on-call schedule yet. It's been something we've kind of not wanted to do, but kind of foresee needing to do just for our own sanity sometimes.
So you each individually, like if you have whatever, four people you're that are yours that are due in August, and maybe Deirdre has four people that are hers. And then those would be that you'd see all the way through prenatal care, birth, postpartum, and you'd cover only if necessary. Like if you were at another birth or had an emergency or something like that.
Yeah. I will say we tell our clients, like they're hiring our whole team, mm-hmm. even though they have one primary midwife. And we've seen that come up. I mean, especially in the last 3 years, a lot because of COVID. We kind of decided to not all be there on the same day. So if we got exposed, we wouldn't have to be in quarantine all at the same time. You know, I broke an ankle at a birth one time and I missed my first. I was carrying the bags and the driveway was uneven. And so they had to pick up the slack for me. You know, we've had weddings. I mean, Deidre and I both have had weddings for our kids and we already have people on the calendar that we've committed to. But when your kids get engaged and married in 3 or 4 months, like, you know, you have to be there for that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You want to be. Like, we want people to come to us because they know that our families are important to us. And so, yes, there's times that we'll see each other's clients. Like, if somebody's at a birth and we have a busy prenatal day, one of us will go cover all the prenatals for the day. Besides our midwives, we have birth assistants that are paid birth assistants too. And then some of us are all certified doulas. So there's some midwives that are, I'm the only midwife that's a certified doula. And then we have two others that are certified doulas that are birth assistants. So that really helps. You know, there's just times I believe that every woman deserves to have a midwife. And when you don't have any serving your hospitals, that's really a sad case. Mm-hmm. So I just finished a birth this morning, as you know, mm-hmm. and that client had type 1 diabetes. And so she wouldn't have been able to do a home birth with us. But I just believe that if they want to have that care, we want to be able to give it to them. And so I'll go support them at the hospital.
So in those cases, would like that person hire you as a doula?
Yeah. And that's separate from our office.
Right.
Yeah. It's independent. Mm-hmm.
Do you all birth assist each other? You use the birth assistants?
Sometimes we do. Like there's just sometimes like, you know, that midwife will bring a special set of skills that's going to be needed for this birth. It might be an emotional skill. It might be, just knowledge and practice. And so we get to choose. The midwives and the clients can choose who they want to have come. But overall, we have some that are practicing more. And our last midwife that came on, you know, she didn't have her practice full yet. Mm-hmm. So she's just now starting to get busy. So she's been birth assisting us. And so that's a way to keep, you know, her face in the public. She's seeing clients, she's participating, and she's being able to make income, you know, mm-hmm. so that she can keep pursuing this goal of her own midwifery practice within our team. And so that's paid off because she's getting busy now. So, and then we'll have another student come on. So
You birth assist for another midwife, do you get an additional like payment on top of, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And what is making you all think of transitioning to maybe call instead?
Well, you know, when I started kind of having my own practice in our team, like I really limited how many births I did a month. I really didn't want to be super busy. Like I just thought, okay, I can do 3 home births a month and I could take 2 hospital births and support women there. But, you know, as my practice has grown, you know, I might have more than that on the calendar. They're repeats, whatever. And you see like, okay, there is a benefit to a call schedule. You know, it may look different than somebody else's call schedules. Like we're trying to work out the path of that. So it may just be an on-call schedule for rotating weekends so that, you know, you can have a 4-day weekend without being on call. Mm-hmm. People will call your clients and births that you have and so forth and so on. And so as you get busier, like you're just the on-call 24/7, it can be really draining, you know?
Right. Yeah. You have heard of Sustainable Midwifery, the course?
No, I haven't.
Oh, yeah, there's a course. she's been on our podcast too, and I met, or my podcast, and there is another group I met last month, and they kind of run off that model. They're three midwives and they do that. So, I mean, I think it's your, the co-op, that's why I say it's really unique. Cause I feel like I've either heard people are just one or they do this group call schedule. So,
well, you have to hold your clients with open hands, which the longer you become a midwife, you want to do that. You know, it's different than what I thought I was going to be because you get connected to your clients. I mean, mm-hmm. just in a short time, I mean, I'm getting ready to recertify again. So I've been certified for 8 years, going on 8 years. So, you know, I've done probably 5 births for some of my clients. And you are very connected and you're like, well, I don't want somebody else to do that birth, you know, but it's a trade-off, right? Mm-hmm. My husband wants to know I can be off this weekend and go somewhere with him and use our airline passes and go fly somewhere and go do something, you know? And so like, there's this balance, right? And all 10 of my grandkids live here in town. And so like, I want to be able to know like, hey, I can do something. I can take them somewhere and not feel like I'm going to have to rush back if I have a mom that's going to have a fast birth. You know, I can go and offer to play and enjoy the kids while their parents go out on a date night. You know, I want to be that kind of a Grammy.
Yeah. I think it's beneficial. And I think from what I've heard, you know, clients are really accepting of it and understanding and know that it's refreshing for you. But I totally get that drive. Like, you know, I'm in a hospital setting, but gosh, I'm bummed when I miss the birth of somebody who I've seen a bunch. So I think we all feel that way.
Thank you for sharing that. Like, I think the more we hear that, the more open our hearts get towards it, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think overall it's going to be good. There's just like in anything, there's going to be a transition of like, well, okay, so in a group practice, then the protocols have to be kind of similar as to who you're going to take, you know, and who you're going to risk out. Some might want to push the boundary a little, some may not. And so like, if you know you're going to cover, either you're not going to go out of town that weekend and you're going to take that own client, or you're going to have to know, like, this practice won't receive that.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
So.
Yeah. And the other group I spoke to said they run it, which you could do it that way. Like, okay, this is your one-on-one. They did it basically like, you know, if anyone was uncomfortable, we said no, after we've discussed it and we've had our policy and whatever, because it's not fair to, that was just their approach, but that would be another approach too. I think saying, well, then we can't cover for you for this one person if you choose to keep it. I think both are good answers, but it does sound like this is the way midwifery is going. There's so much more group call.
We
think
don't
people are accepting of it.
It's like an OB practice, you know, like that's the reason why people choose midwifery. So there's such a balance there, you know, and honestly, midwives are all strong people. Like, they're very strong personality people, you know. I know you've seen that because you've interviewed so many. They have this drive. They have these opinions. They have, like, in your group practice, sometimes you just got to let go of some of that for the benefit of yourself. Not even the whole team. It's like you have to let go of some things so that you can be benefited by this team, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I can totally understand your, you know, your torn heart a little bit of like, we don't want to be like, you know, OB practices, but also you're important too. And your family is important and your grandkids are important. And like you said, having that time to go with your husband on a trip. And I think people are pretty understanding.
I think when we start, you know, doing our interview process, like we're doing that now, like we haven't started an on-call schedule right now, but we're going to head that direction. And it's really important for you to know, like, you're hiring our whole team. Mm-hmm. We can give examples of how we've had to fill in for each other. And, you know, people are glad, like they're glad, like there's somebody that could fill in if there's an emergency with my midwife. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you have to look at it. It's kind of stressful for them too. Like, what if this is my one and only and something happens?
Right. Anything. Right.
I mean, my dad passed on Thanksgiving Day this last year. And, you know, we took him home on hospice. We didn't know that was going to happen. I had 2 weeks with my dad and he died. And I'm very glad for my three midwife sisters that took my three clients on, you know, and I missed their births, but I didn't miss my last days with my dad.
Yeah, that's very important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So how you kind of talked about how you said, oh, this wasn't what I thought that I would be, how I'd be practicing. Or so I'm wondering, from when you went into midwifery to now, how do you think your heart and your service, I guess, attitude, what do you think has changed about how you approach midwifery? That's a very broad question.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's the maturity that comes from being a midwife for 8 years, being certified, being doing our things that we do. There's maturity that comes with being very involved with our business. There's maturity that comes with the professionalism that we wanted to set up from the very beginning. And so all of these things sprout wings, you know, they all sprout wings. It gets deeper, it gets broader, it gets more foundational of what you're doing. When you start, you're like, oh, I'm going to assist women at their births, you know. Now there's this whole business side of things, you know, the emails, the texts, the website, the Facebook page, the posts, the, you know, our goal was to be out in the open and to broaden people's horizons with this, you know, midwifery care that they can have that looks very professional. And so like all of that comes with wings that just spread out, you know, and so that's kind of how it's changed. It's just like, I'm doing more than I thought I would ever enjoy doing. I just kind of thought I was going to be this quiet little midwife, you know, taking care of people, but like, it's obvious that it's supposed to be different than that for me. And, you know, I'm good at supporting women at the hospital. I feel like it's deserved. I want to, I like doing interviews with clients. I like talking to them about the midwifery model of care. I like talking to them about informed consent. It's so much education. We do so much education, which is right down the path of my home education program. You know, it's just taking on a new face of educating people and being assisting them and for them learning themselves all these paths that they can have. And that inspires me. I love that part.
What is your least favorite part?
The 24/7 call.
Yeah, that's everyone's answer.
24/7, just, you know, like if I want to be out on the lake kayaking and you just get this call that's unexpected and your whole day flips around and it just goes crazy, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just like not ever knowing a day can be your own, you know.
How do you cope with that or cope with moments where you feel like, I guess, quote unquote, burnout?
I don't know if I get burnout, but I do get, my adrenaline goes up. Mm-hmm. That's just my own personality. My personality is one who likes to be the planner and know like what is all the things I have to be ready for, you know, just blah, 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 blah. Well, I mean, two calls can make your whole day just go crazy, you know, and everything's topsy-turvy. And I just don't like that very well. You know, yeah. I like to be more in control of my schedule. So, I mean, I do prayer. I mean, I pray about it. I get to talk to my husband about it. And I will take an Epsom salt bath no matter what, every night. I don't care if I come in at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, from a birth. It's just like my solace to just unwind. And to know that whatever I've been called to do, I'm going to have the strength to do it, you know? And even though we try to be everything to every person, like, I kind of think that's not possible, you know? You don't know that somebody's going to have a precipitous birth for their first baby, you know? So yeah, you might be at the lake in a kayak. Well, you can only do what you can do to get there, you know? And hopefully you've educated them and they're just ready to do whatever needs to be happening. You know, you just can do your best. You can serve your families the best you can. And as long as you've done that, you should feel good about it. We beat ourselves up a lot, I think, as midwives. Well, yeah. Moms, women, we do it all, right?
And try to take on probably too much.
Yeah. And I mean, there'll be times where I just know in my body, I'm ramping up and it's like, okay, for 2 weeks, it's no to everything that can be no to. If there's something I can say no, it's a no. And I make that decision ahead of time and I stick with it. Deidre laughs at me. She's like, you are so great at setting boundaries.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. It's like, whatever comes up in 2 weeks, it's a no. It's a no. There's no other thing going on the calendar. I don't care if it's for 2 months from now. And these 2 weeks, I'm not making any more commitments.
But how do you do that when you're like, ooh, I really want to do that? Well, you still say no?
I do, because I set my own boundaries. Like, that's just not what I'm going to do. I have to give myself some breathing room. And if it's that important in 2 weeks, then I can still put it on the calendar, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, now that's not like taking care of my clients. Of course, we're going to put things on the calendar for our clients.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And our kids and things like that. But I'm just talking about extra, hey, can you handle the basketball teams? Blah, blah, blah. Can you schedule this particular thing? Can mm-hmm. you go to this event and represent, you know, Wichita Birth Assistance? Can you, like, that's like, for now, it's a no. For these 2 weeks, I'm saying no to everything I can. Mm-hmm. And that gives me the space to breathe.
How does your husband, you mentioned like you talk to him when you're feeling this way. What are things that he does or says that helps you kind of get through it?
He is not an emotional guy at all. You know, he's an analytical, logical guy, right? Now, what's funny about us is our roles have really changed, because he flew internationally for 21 years of our marriage and he's retired now. Mm-hmm. So I'm out doing stuff and working and, you know, having the stresses that he had with international travel for 21 years, you know, and he's like, I come home and like, he's vacuumed and he's done all these wonderful things at home for me and all of that. But like, when I say, okay, I'm just stressed, he goes, well, okay, so why don't you just, everything's going to be okay. Just go ahead and just get ready for bed early and take your bath early. You want to watch a movie? I mean, he distracts me, mm-hmm. you know, he's not going to say like, he's not mushy about it. He just like distract.
Yeah. He's mannish about it.
Yeah. And I mean, like, he flew 500 passengers around on the 747, you know, some of those flights were 15 hours. So like, he understands like the scheduling, like our schedules, like when he was flying that and I was doing midwifery work, it was like, it's just crazy, you know, and we put ourselves through a lot, our marriages and everything. So it's kind of a fun place to be with him home now. It's just like, don't you need to go on a trip or something? Projects done, you know. And so we laugh about that. But, you know, we
does play he cards. Like it?
Yeah.
Does he like being slower?
Yes, he likes it. He says that he misses the flying, mm-hmm. but he doesn't miss the rat race, you know. Yeah. He double commuted to Detroit, Michigan for all of those years. So like, it's been very difficult since 9/11 for sure. Mm-hmm. So it's getting to work. It's getting home from work. It's the schedule while you're gone. It's the jet being jet lagged all the time. And so we have this thing, he was jet lagged and I get birth lagged. Mm-hmm. And he knows exactly what that means for me. Like, there's no expectation when I come home and I've done double births or whatever. Like, he totally gets it. Like, I need food, I need sleep, I need my car cleaned out, and I need a bath. And he just knows like what that means. And there's no, he never gives me any pushback on any of that.
Yeah. It's probably, you probably spent a lot of years where you're feeling like you're just kind of surviving with him going, you going, I would imagine. Lots of young kids.
Yeah, I would say like, yeah. Yeah, it was busy. I think sometimes we can forget it. Like, we want to forget it. It's kind of like birth. We forget the pain and remember the good parts, you know? Mm-hmm. So, but lots of it was very painful. I mean, when you're sitting under a preceptor and you've got to be corrected and trained and you have to have a heart to receive it, like, sometimes that's teary-eyed, you know? And trying to make corrections and just grow in your knowledge and your skills and your understanding and, like, you just really, like, I guess I was just thinking, like, some people think being a midwife is kind of romantic, you know, like, it's a romantic job to have. Oh, look at the midwives and look at this, look at that. like when it's down into the nitty gritty, it's probably anything but that, you know? Yes, we get to serve families. Yes, we get to make a difference. Yes, we get nice little text messages from our clients and how much they appreciate us and all. But really, sometimes we're pouring out our hearts way more than we get back, you know? And so it's something to be really thought about deeply before going down this path, I think.
Yeah, and I'm so glad you mentioned like that, you know, being the constructive criticism or correction as an adult. You know, many people, either they're like, you did it later, or sometimes it's graduate degree, you're in your 30s, your 40s, whatever. That's hard to hear when you're like, I'm an adult and I've raised children, I've had jobs, I've had a career, and I have to be constructively criticized. Mm-hmm. That's a really good point you bring up. It's hard to hear it and being prepared for it.
Yeah. And responsive to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've had other students that have come to us and like, they don't get like having to have their phone on, you know, they don't get like being on time for prenatal days, like, or just showing up, like having gas in your car. I mean, these are things like you have to count the cost of what this really entails, you know? And I'm looking, you know, to like, I'm going to be 60 next year. My husband and I have been married 40 years in November. And so like, of course, we're looking to what comes next, you know, like how long will I want to do this midwifery? Going back to the call schedule, I think that helps me see that more sustainably, you know. But I think there's people who we've seen come to us that they don't understand the commitment that's required. It's a big commitment. It takes a lot out of you in every arena. I go to the gym 4 times a week in the mornings. I lift weights. Like the things that we do, they require strength. They require health on our part. It requires us to be healthy, our adrenals, as much as we can to be supportive of that, our hormones. Like we have to take care of ourselves, you know, to be able to do what we do. And people kind of step in and they get their feet wet for like one day. We have one day and it never come ever.
Oh, wow.
To prenatals. Like, we're like, okay, this is not going to work, you know, but you wonder what people are thinking, but it's hard work, you know, and women, we're strong. Women can do, we can do almost anything we want to do. And my dad always said, like, you can be good at almost anything, but you can't always be good at everything at the same time. And so, like, you have to choose the things you want to be good at.
Yeah. Do you have a suggestion for people who are thinking about, like, you know, I wonder about these people that came to you. Did they do anything to prepare themselves? Like, what do you suggest?
Yeah, they were in midwifery school, and they had to find a preceptor.
Okay.
And, you know, there's times I just think you're burning your bridges, you know, yeah. You don't want to do that. But I think we're a great group to work for, you know, work with. I think we love each other. Like, there's not that many groups that love each other. Women are hard to get along with, you know, but we have a deep level of trust for each other. And so that's amazing. But like, you have to lay things down when you come to be a midwife. I think you have to do that with any professional job, but you're going to be trained. You're having somebody commit to you to make you better in the arena of being a midwife. You know, you're working with a group of women. They just have to know, like, it will cost something, you know, your schedule, your timing, your pleasure, your what you want to do, you know. You just have to be willing to have that attitude. Because otherwise you're not going to be able to serve others.
Yeah, the serving of others is the key right there. I like that you use that term, because that's what, there's always sacrifice, I think, when you serve others.
Mm-hmm. And you know, you're loyal to, I mean, I think there's some unhealthy relationships out there with students and preceptors. So I'm not speaking to that, but I'm just saying, if you have a healthy, trusting relationship, you know, you want to serve the team that you're working with as a student. You want to make them successful, because when you're making them successful, it's making you successful. All the things that you're learning to be a successful team member, it's helping you be a successful midwife, for sure. Loyalty, you know, our words, how we speak about each other, how we promote, you know, what our heart is at our practice, things like that.
Mm-hmm. So I always ask, do you have any advice for somebody thinking about midwifery? But I feel like you answered that. Do you have other advice?
Don't be impatient with yourself. Like, mine were little steps. Like, so it's okay for it to take a while, you know, it's okay. But make sure you're enjoying the journey. Like, you just need to be enjoying the journey. There'll be days that you won't like, but just make sure you're enjoying it. And if you're not, then it may not be for you. But if you are, then put your whole heart into it. You won't regret it.
Yeah. And you know what I didn't ask? I think it was kind of ingrained in your story, but why you chose the CPM path versus
going. Well, you know, the PEP process would be the only one I could do, mm-hmm. because I was taking care of my family. I was homeschooling. My husband was traveling. That would have been the only way I could have done it. You know, I was grateful for the bridge process, and I did that as well. And so I like the apprenticeship model. I like apprenticeship. Some of my own kids have done apprenticeship models, and I think it's a very valuable way to learn. It's both hands-on and academics at the same time. And so that would be another thing I would say for a student. Like, if you don't have a preceptor who's willing to teach, then it's not the right preceptor. You know, you have to have somebody who's willing to walk this path with you and really encourage, like, you need to work on this, you need to do that. And our student right now, she's very organized, which we love, you know, and she's really great. She's actually going through the Mercy in Action program. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she has to have her thing signed off every week, but she has such a great attitude. She just says, if it would be okay, would you have time to sign off on these things today? You know, she has an attitude of service. That's why she's going to be invited to be a part of our team. She is invited. Mm-hmm. She's committed to do it, you know.
I was going to say, does she know yet?
Yeah, she knows. Yeah, okay. She's agreed to do it. So, yeah. And so, but she wouldn't have been invited, you right. know. She was sparking attitude all the time and talking poorly about, you know, gossiping in the team. We just don't do that. Like, if you mm-hmm. have a problem, you need to go handle it, get it taken care of, resolve it quickly. It's important. And those things will come up. So don't get discouraged when they do. Just know that you've got to handle them. Sometimes we've got to pull up our big girl panties and just handle stuff.
That's hard too.
It is, but it's good. It feels good when you get to do it. Because yeah. then it's resolved and you can keep moving forward.
That's true.
Seeing vision, you know.
And how many midwives will you have with her?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Midwives will you have with her on your team?
Five. She'll be our fifth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that'd be a good rotation. Five.
Yeah. And we have a sister team, and that's kind of complicated, but we have another team, and it's just one midwife, and we cover for her. We already have done that some when she needs coverage or if she has two births, and she'll help us sometimes if we've needed help. And so she's going to be in that process of rotation, but our student won't do that for a while, you know.
Right.
She won't be in that process for a while. And one of our midwives probably doesn't want to be off call, but she will be definitely in the rotation. She'll have to take call. Mm-hmm. So that makes sense. Like, she'll have to, she's the newer one. And so mm-hmm. she doesn't have that many clients, but we'll still want her to take call, but she won't have to give up her, you know,
right.
She doesn't want to.
She'll keep her people. And then, yeah, that makes sense. I can understand that.
So, yeah. So I don't know. Does that answer your questions?
It does. Yeah. So one last little question. personal, but how was it being a part of your grandchildren's birth?
Oh, wow. That's a whole big story. I don't know. Have you asked that question to other midwives?
Maybe. I don't remember all my questions.
So, like, my very first grandchild ended up in a transfer to the hospital and ended up with a C-section.
Okay.
We didn't hear heart tones. There weren't any problems, but we knew we needed some pain management and we needed some help from the doctor. And so C-section, that's hard to see your kids go mm-hmm. through that.
Yeah. You know? And that was your child?
Yeah, it was my daughter. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I have some that have precipitous births. Like her first birth was 2 hours and 15 minutes. Her second birth was 18 minutes and 4 contractions. And her husband had to deliver. So like, that's a whole story in and of itself.
Yeah.
I've had one that, another one that had to transfer in, and the hospital forgot to give vitamin K, even though it was in her birth plan. And my grandbaby had like vitamin K deficiency. So collaborating with the pediatrician was excellent. And they reviewed the charts and he said, I don't see where they gave it. And I'm like, well, they were supposed to give it at the hospital. We had a traveling nurse, you know,
yeah,
all through the PACS. So it is very stressful taking care of my baby.
Was he okay?
Yeah, my grandbaby's fine. Okay. Yes.
Whew.
I went over. The doctor told me go over, give him a vitamin K injection, and we're going to admit him to the hospital. And he did have 3 brain bleeds. He did, but we caught it early enough. And that was probably because of good collaboration. It didn't hurt that their mom was a midwife, but the collaborating doctor was being able to visit with me about that and didn't act, you know, like unapproachable about discussing what was happening. He called and checked and we had some great conversations. We have both OBs and pediatricians that we can do that with. And that's excellent. Like if you can be in a situation where you can build rapport with the hospitals, the doctors, it will serve you well to do that. But as far as taking care of your own clients, you literally have to say to them, okay, this is my mom hat that I'm wearing right now. You know, this is my midwife hat that I'm wearing right now, you know, and you have to kind of detach sometimes to have the midwife hat on. Mm-hmm. And you have to detach from the midwife part and have the mom heart sometimes. Now, Deidre and I mean, like you just could never do that without having a good midwife sister, you know, having your back, because they just have to tell you like, yes, you're looking at this right. Or you're over processing, or you're not processing enough. Or did you think about this? And because you can miss things because you have the mom hat on when you need to have the midwife hat on.
Yeah.
So it's not the funnest.
I'm not gonna lie.
Like the end result's good when you can look at the sisters, but wow, it can be a little stressful.
I know my oldest daughter would be a drama queen with me.
Yeah.
So I would worry about that. Like she's going to just let all her emotions out because it's safe. So yeah. I would wonder like that, you know, could they handle it better if it was somebody objective? Yeah. I don't know.
My son, he married a wonderful young lady and her dad was in management at the hospital. You know, he's like, well, he loves us. Just so you know, it's a great relationship, but he's like, okay, now you can marry into that family, but I'm not sure about you having home births. Like that's not going to happen. And so they've had hospital births. Their first one I helped them with, but you know, I think my son had a good grounding on like what to expect and, you know, and all that. And so,
yeah,
it was good. Wonderful. You know, whole wonderful hospital experience. Like, you know, births can be just wonderful, but wherever they are. You know?
Yeah. You've had a myriad experience just with them.
Yeah.
Sounds like.
Yeah, that's the problem. Because it's like, if I do this with my daughter or my son or whatever, like, you just know you're going to have things that come up. And why is that? Why is that? I don't know.
They call it in the nurse curse sometimes.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Like, because you're in this, you're going to get something.
Yeah, that happens when you have a student in your practice too. When you have a student in your practice, all the things happen. It's just kind of like you're getting to train them on things. I'm like, oh boy, we'll be glad that person is done graduating.
Poor student. Well, thank you, Cynthia. Do you have anything else you want to add, mention, anything?
I appreciate what you do. It's
thank you.
With you. And
yeah,
I just love that people are brought to midwifery in different ways. Mm-hmm. Their stories and journeys look different. And I think that's kind of the heart of what you're doing. And I think it's great. And no one's too old. If you have a heart to do it, go for it. Find somebody to work with. Make it happen.
And like I said, hearing your story is so important, because I cannot tell you how many times I've heard people say, just wait, it will still be there. It's not worth the sacrifice.
Yeah.
That if it would be too much, it's not worth the sacrifice that it would make to your family or whatever. Just wait, and it's okay to wait. And you can see from your story that it was okay and it was a better time for you.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I was talking to a midwife. She's a prominent midwife. Probably a lot of people know her. And, you know, she's just okay to be at home right now, you know, with her little ones, and enjoy that time. Like, that time goes by fast. Mm-hmm. And it is a sacrifice. Like, I don't think I would have done it. Now, some people probably think this is not good, but I don't think I would have done it had my older kids not been supportive of me doing it. Because mm-hmm. I think, I'm not saying that's the way it has to be. I'm just saying for my heart, like, I needed to know, like, they were supportive of me doing that. Because they sacrifice, our family sacrifice for us to do what we do. And, you know, sometimes that's a lot for us to bear, that they're sacrificing for what we do, you know. And we never want to be, Deidre and I'll speak to us, like, we never want to be people who are taking care of others' families without taking care of our own. And when that's why we have to be in a group practice, because, like, when your kids have something important that comes up, you want to know that you can do it and that you're there for them. And so I think I got off track there, but I think it's just, you know, like, I think if you have young kids and you want to wait, just think about the skills that you can be attaining while you're waiting. It's not all or nothing. You know, you can still be dabbling. You can still be serving, serve families, serve midwives, serve people, because that is really good training. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. And that gives you the flexibility to still be at home with your kids and raising your family. If that's what you want to do, you won't regret doing that. Midwifery will be there, and it's okay. I guarantee most people that go down this path, it ends up different than what they thought it was going to look like.
Yep.
So have open hands with that.
Yeah, perfect. Perfect note to end on. Thank you.
Good.
That was beautiful.
Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
And that's a wrap on another great interview on the Journey to Midwifery podcast. If you want to contact me, send comments, things you like, things you don't like, any referrals of people you want to see on the podcast, email me at journeytomidwiferypodcast@gmail.com. You can also find me on social media, Facebook and Instagram, at Journey to Midwifery Podcast. Until next time.